This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. It's all one word. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. That's Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, the website has quite a little information on it that you might find helpful. The program can be re-listened to there, and there's a weekly meditation. There's some tracks, there's some questions and answers, and I hope you'll take advantage of the information that's on that website. Now, today we're going to continue our journey through the books of the Bible, again with an emphasis on not so much the explanation of the books as a little context so that you yourself will be intrigued when you read these books for yourself. We know that many people go to their local congregations and expect their pastor to spoon feed them. And I'm hoping that I can encourage you to develop skills so that you yourself, even if you had no pastor, and I hope you do have a good pastor, but even if you had no pastor, you would be able to discern for yourself right from wrong, truth versus error as you read the Bible. And so we have emphasized again that as we go through the Bible, we always let the simple things explain the difficult things. We always use the three principles that we find similar to the principles that we use for selling real estate, which in real estate is location, location, location. But when it comes to the Bible, it's context, 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 context of the chapter, context of the book, context of the Bible as a whole. We always remember that the principles we believe are found in the Gospels. We find the examples of those principles carried out in the Acts of the Apostles, and that's where we're at now as we are studying. That's the historical context of the spread of the gospel. And then we find the epistles giving us the doctrinal explanation of the truth of the Bible. And we find the Old Testament giving us illustrations. So we look for principles in the Gospels, examples in the Acts, teaching in the Epistles, and illustrations in the Old Testament. And we remember that the Old Testament is an earthly people with earthly promises and with an earthly land, where the New Testament is a spiritual people with spiritual promises and a spiritual land. And then, of course, we've left out the book of the Revelation, which is really the culmination of everything, where the Lord does come back to establish his kingdom and become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's really the end of the story. Now, when we come to the Acts of the Apostles, we would recognize that it's been written by Luke the physician to Theophilus. And it's the second book that Luke wrote to Theophilus. The first one, of course, was the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And I mentioned this before, but I just think the Lord must have had a real interest in Theophilus that he would have Luke the physician write two books specifically to him. Now, we get the benefit of it. We get to read those books ourselves, but It is my conviction that the Gospels led Theophilus to believe in the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke the physician was really mentoring him and showing him how the gospel was spread and how the Lord used the people, the early apostles, and particularly Peter and Paul, to spread the gospel. Now, as we look at the Acts of the Apostles, we recognize, as we've already said, that it's historical. It's not really a doctrinal book, though it supports much of the doctrine found in the epistles. But, for example, in the epistles, baptism, that is, the immersion of an individual in a ritual death, burial, and resurrection, and in an identification with Christ, always follows believing. The seal of the Holy Spirit is now upon believing, according to Ephesians 1. But in the early church, we find that people received the Holy Spirit after their public identification with Christ in baptism and by the laying on of the hands of the apostles. We wouldn't consider that to be the teaching of the epistles or the norm for the day. For example, in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, we read, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." We would take it that the epistles give us a different order now that the church has been established and is maturing, or has matured. Now, there are some key verses that we should remember from the Acts of the Apostles, and the first one is, and we've emphasized it before, Acts 1 and verse 8, which says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And this, of course, was a commission to those who saw him ascend into heaven. It was particularly a commission to his apostles, but we take it, it's a commission to all of us, although those of us who are alive today can only be witnesses to what the Lord has done for us and to what we have seen personally. We were not witnesses to the resurrection, or actually the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. We have to tell others about those who were witnesses to those things. A witness is one who was there and saw what happened and can testify to its truth. But we can witness to how we ourselves were convicted of the truth of these witnesses. And so we talk about witnessing today to those that we want to preach the gospel to, but really, and I don't mean to be technical here, but really those of us who are saved today, we preach the gospel that we have received through these witnesses. But they were to be witnesses in Jerusalem. So obviously the work started in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And of course, when we look at what's happening today with the use of the electronic media, the gospel is going to the end of the earth. Now, it's interesting that originally the gospel might not have spread if there hadn't been persecution in Jerusalem, because just as we like to congregate together today and be with those who believe what we believe, that was true of the early church. But they needed to be spread out. They needed to take their gospel into places where they wouldn't normally go. And so we find in the Acts of the Apostles there was persecution, and this commission was carried out. They went into all Judea, which was the area around Jerusalem, Samaria, the province north of them, the province that most Jews didn't like going to because they considered it to be a province with people that were sort of half Jew, half Gentile. And then they would take it to the end of the earth. And then Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And even though Peter was the one who found out that God was not willing to allow him to call that which was clean unclean, he found that out in his vision in Acts chapter 10, I believe it was 9 and 10, actually Acts chapter 10 and 11. And so he didn't want to go to Gentiles, but he did go to Gentiles when he realized the Lord was commissioning him to do that. And so they went from people that they knew to people that were like them, to people that were not like them, to the Gentiles who were considered unclean originally by the Jewish nation as a nation. And the gospel has, of course, benefited those of us that are here today and listening to this program today. And so in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And based on prophecies from the Old Testament, we do expect the Lord one day to descend to the Mount of Olives and to set up his kingdom. He had ascended here from the Mount of Olives. He will one day descend to the Mount of Olives. I personally believe that there will be a rapture of the church, a signing of a peace treaty with a Gentile leader, probably a religious leader, that will bring about the 10-nation confederacy, the revived Roman Empire. And then I believe there will be 7 years of great tribulation when the Lord is going to judge the world symbolically that crucified the Lord. He's going to judge them through terrible natural disasters, pestilences, all of the evil that can come upon a world. He's going to let it come forth. And friend, if you think things are bad today, just wait until the tribulation occurs. And then at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come on the white horse. He's going to save the believing remnant of Israel, and he's going to establish a kingdom of righteousness. Things are going to be different. Now, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we have a verse that we all need to remember. This was stated by Peter, but this is the essence of the gospel. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And Peter says that, whereby we must be saved. And friend, if you're not saved today, if all that is taking place in the world doesn't make you wonder about your relationship with God, remember, there is salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus. It may not save us from the pandemic. It may not save us from the tensions that are going on in the world today, but it'll save us for eternity. And then Paul preaches the same thing in Acts chapter 13. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." And friend, those verses are key verses. Peter is key in the first 12 chapters, and we find Paul is key to the rest of the book. But friend, salvation is to be found in Christ, and if you haven't found it, now is the time. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program, upon our country, and upon those who have listened. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.